Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Ralph, good morning.
Hi, Dawn. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, you know, we saw your big trial on social media, headline. Wanted to, you know, I know that you did a Substack on this and that you've investigated this. Can you tell us what you found and how difficult it was to find this information?
Well, it should have been a very simple thing. I was seeking public records that he should have made available within 5 days. He could have, you know, actually, I asked Krasner at a press conference, you know, what did you spend on this lawsuit? And there's a side issue here, Dawn. Mm-hmm. Larry has 300 lawyers on his staff at his disposal at any minute of the day. If he needs extra legal advice, he can pick up the phone and he can call the city solicitor's office, and they've got another 200 lawyers over there, and he can get free advice from them. But whenever he's doing one of his political stunts, one of his little vanity projects, he has a habit of hiring outside law firms, very expensive outside law firms. And this is what he did when he wanted to sue Elon Musk. And so, you know, I asked Larry for the money, you know, the expenses, and he wouldn't even answer my question. He basically told me I was out of order at a press conference called to discuss the election. So I filed a right to know request on November 1st, and they finally got around. They asked for delays, and then they finally got around on January 9th to responding to my request. And I asked for the contracts between this law firm and the DA's office, and they told me they didn't exist. They couldn't find them. And I asked for the invoices and the payments, and they said they were still looking for those. So I had to go to the state and file an appeal. Finally, on January 21st, they gave me the two invoices for the Musk lawsuit, and they show for 30. So, you know, something that should have taken me 5 days at most, Larry Krasner stretched it out for 82 days. After 82 days, they finally gave me the two invoices, and they showed that for 32 days of work, the law firm, let me get the name of this firm, it's the Hangley, Aronchek, Siegel, Pudlin, and Schiller. According to their website, they offer, quote, the highest level of professional services while maintaining the warm personal relationships that our clients value. They charge up to $400 an hour. And for 32 days of work, the bill, the total was $74,766. So, and I wouldn't mind, but a judge heard the case. He's a registered Democrat, and he destroyed the case. He said, you know, the only witness they put on the stand that testified against Musk was Larry Krasner himself. And according to the judge, Larry didn't offer any evidence to prove any of his claims that Musk was running an illegal lottery. All he could offer was, quote, mere speculation, unquote. So they not only lost the case, and it was a publicity stunt, but they, you know, ran up $74,000 on the taxpayer's bill, and he didn't want to tell anybody about it. So that's my story.
And so you're sticking with it. Ralph Cipriano, I mean, I would say this, and everybody can check out your Big Trial blog and follow you on X. But I know that over time, I mean, everybody knows you from your Inquirer days and all of your journalism that you've done, investigative journalism. But I know over time you've had a back and forth with Krasner. So you were banned for a while. Right. And then so now are you banned again? Because I know they had lifted the ban against you. So the question is, are you locked out again from the news conferences because of this?
Well, not at the moment. He always calls on me last at every press conference, and his routine, I've been going to them for 2.5 years, and he's run away from me. He calls on me last because when I ask him a question he doesn't want to answer, he has the option of running away, which he has done 37 times in the past 2 years. So, on three different occasions when he really got upset with the questions I asked him, he actually asked his detectives to forcibly remove me. And I was actually They did it twice. The third time I threatened them with lawsuits and they didn't do it. But I actually was hauled out of his press conferences for the sin of asking him a question he didn't want to answer. And then another right-to-know request, I found that he had launched two different investigations of me and my for the offense of, quote, suspicious behavior at a press conference.
Wow.
Yeah. And the suspicious behavior, the only thing I could think of was asking him a question that he didn't want to answer. So it's pretty ridiculous.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. So you are talking about another layer of this, Ralph, and that is that, you know, he has hundreds of attorneys. So is he saying, hey, the attorneys that we have are too busy in court, et cetera, so we're going to farm this out? Is that why they're farming it out, and then we have to pay extra?
Well, Dawn, that's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to it because Larry Krasner will not discuss this issue publicly. I mean, when I ask him questions about it, he won't answer any of my questions. So, I mean, that's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to it, but I do know that although we're talking about $74,000 here, mm-hmm. he has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on outside lawyers whenever he's filing these political lawsuits that he does. Like when he challenged, you remember when the legislature passed Act 40, which was to appoint a special SEPTA prosecutor to prosecute crimes on SEPTA's mm-hmm. property? I still haven't seen any of the bills for that. But, and whenever his lawyers get in trouble for lying to judges and they've been censored, they've been admonished, or sanctioned, actually, that's the right term, for not being candid with the court. That's happened on at least three or four occasions. He ends up hiring firms like the one he hired for the Musk lawsuit to research these cases and file appeals, and all the sanctions have been upheld. But I haven't seen all the bills yet from what that's cost yeah. taxpayers, but we're working on it.
So. I mean, because I'll tell you this, Ralph, if it's me, because this is what the Democrats are very good at doubling down. So if he believed that he wanted to investigate what Elon Musk was doing and the power of him and whether there were conflicts. And then, you know, to me, what the answer should have been was, well, Ralph, first and foremost, we wanted to make sure that nothing illegal was going on, number one, because it's a lot of money. And number two, this is perfectly legal for DAs like myself within our budget to allocate certain outside dollars to look into this so we don't have to distract our attorneys who are focusing on criminals and that sort of thing, right? So I just wonder if it's, you know, why he wouldn't just answer that. That's right. That's what I would have expected. So why doesn't he want to be on the record answering that? That's another question.
Well, I think the fact that A, he lost big time, and B, the judge ripped him for not having any evidence. He made all of these accusations. Musk is running a illegal lottery. And the judge went through all of the things that had to be proven to prove that. And he said, Larry was up on the stand for at least an hour or so, and he had no evidence to offer, just his own speculation. So, you know, if you're going to go into court and do a high-profile case like this, wouldn't you want to win it? Wouldn't you want to at least come up with some evidence that backs up your accusations?
Yeah. And I have to wonder as well, Ralph Cipriano, if part of this is that Krasner is being primaried by, municipal court judge Pat Dugan, fellow Democrat, popular, who could use any of this or anything. It's like the old saying, anything you say can and will be used against you. So might not want to mention it while cameras are rolling, you know, because then it goes viral. And so maybe in a campaign that doesn't look so pretty. It's just a thought as to why, as well, he's not answering it. But what are you working on next? We want to promote you what you're working on next.
Well, I'm trying to get – he's got this discretionary account that nobody knew the large amounts of money that were going in and out of it. So I have filed all kinds of right-to-know requests to get every expenditure that was made out of there. I'm also looking into his sentencing practices. It looks like he has a habit of going easy on serial killers. There's some laws on the books that say if somebody's guilty of two-third degree murders, you have to give them a mandatory life sentence. And he doesn't do that. He's giving breaks to serial killers. So I want to run that down. And I don't know. The other thing is, you know, Larry's not an honest person. And I swear, you know, every time I run into him in a press conference, he says something crazy. So this is a one-person job. The sad thing is, though, Dawn, is that, you know, at these press conferences that he has every week where he poses as a law and order DA and gets free publicity, I'm the only one who asks him tough questions, and he always has the option of running away from me. So it's, you know, we're 7 years into this failed social experiment. Across the country, voters, even in California, have rejected this whole progressive prosecutor thing as something that negatively impacts the public safety of everybody in the city. So, you know, he should be held accountable. So I just wish the press would step up its game.
Well, I would say this, Ralph.
Judge Dugan on.
I remember Kristen Johansson was also blocked from at least one news conference.
Yes.
Remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
She's from KYW News Radio. So full disclosure, I remember she had, you know, because she asks pretty tough questions. But
yes, she does.
You know, so
she was beating on him about the his policy. If you steal less than $500, it's just a summary offense, which is like a traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I remember that face off. And he was trying to dodge all her questions about that. So, yes, she asked tough questions.
Speaking of that revolutionary memo that had that $500, you know, limit, does he still abide by that? Do you know, is he still, you know, following that as a policy within his department, or is he kind of throwing that aside now that there's, you know, bigger politics at play?
The mayor, I believe, forced him to change that policy. I believe that policy is out the window. I've actually asked for some statistics to be able to compare and contrast that. But as you remember, Mayor Parker, that was one of the big things she said. You know, the day I come into office, you're not going to be able to walk into a store and steal $500 worth of merchandise, and there's not going to be any repercussions. And so she beat him over the head with that, and he was forced to change it. How much he's changed it, I'm still trying to figure out.
Yeah, and I think that's the big question, the change of mayor and Mayor Parker, what she's quiet about, what she is passionate about, very different from the past administration. And so I don't see the two of the – I don't see Krasner and Parker necessarily as chummy. Let's just put it that way. You see her with her police commissioner, with everybody else. I don't really – do you see her with Krasner as much?
No, I do not. But I mean, I don't follow the mayor around.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that does seem like a strained relationship. And she did tell me when I asked her once. I said, "You know, how are you getting along with Krasner?" And she says, "When we're fighting, you'll know about it."
So,
and I don't think Bethel's fond of him either. But the other thing, Dawn, that I've been really looking into, these so-called exonerations. These are supposedly Larry Krasner's greatest achievements, where he's letting convicted killers out of jail who he thinks were likely innocent. And he's done 45 exonerations. And he never finds the real killer in any of these cases. And every time they've been tested, as the attorney general has stated in briefs that they filed in court, his investigations have been found wanting. But the other thing is, we, the taxpayers, are on the hook for this. 22 people have been exonerated since he has been district attorney. And they've taken, you know, they as soon as they get out of jail, they often file civil suits saying, "I was wrongly incarcerated." And the first 22 to go through the turnstile, they've racked up $84.5 million of civil awards. And since we're self-insured in Philadelphia, this is all coming out of our pockets. And the police department has they're reinvestigating all these cases. And the first one they looked at was the one of little Barbara Jean Horn. I think she was 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. old, the baby in the box that they found. And the killer in that case, Walter Ogrod, he got $9 million from the taxpayers. And the cops came back and said, "We got the right guy. He's the killer."
Yeah, so, I know.
This guy that... Yeah.
Yeah. I know that in this was, I mean, this was like 10, 11 months ago. There were headlines that we either lead the nation. We're in the top two, let's say, of exonerations in the nation. Yes. Like this.
Yes.
And I think probably somewhere in California is number one. But I remember, I want to say Broad and Liberty did a story where they said one of those initial exonerees who was in the headlines then had pleaded guilty to some other crimes not soon after. And so, that's just it. It just feels sometimes, it feels like a pattern or a motivation. On one hand, to persecute police and exonerate or free or give the benefit of the doubt to certain people who've been convicted, before a jury. And so that's, to me, it's more the pattern of behavior that's bothersome. That, we're going to believe one group more. We're not going to believe, law enforcement. We're going to always question them. And I just think that's a dangerous pattern to have.
You're 100% right. And it goes even worse. It's even worse than what you're saying, because in these exonerations, they don't prove their case in court. They don't put up witnesses. They don't put up evidence. There's no testing of evidence, no cross-examination of witnesses. These are backroom deals where the traditional adversarial form of justice goes out the window. What you have is Krasner getting together with his buddies in the defense bar, and they agree that this convicted killer deserves to be exonerated. And so they file what's known as a joint stipulation, where they agree to drop the charges as soon as they say the guy needs a new trial. As soon as the judge grants the motion for a new trial, Krasner then drops the charges. The convicted killer goes free, and he oftentimes turns around and sues the city and collects cash. But nothing is proven in court. And when these cases go to court, there's no one representing the murder victim or the murder victim's family or standing up for the public and public safety. So, in the case you were talking about, the Broad and Liberty reported on, there was a guy named Shorin Thomas, and he was exonerated in 2017 under Seth Williams. They claimed that he had an airtight alibi. And I just published, so he got exonerated. He goes free. He collects $4 million from the taxpayers. And then he turns around and commits another murder. He murders another drug dealer who owed him $1,200, and he's back in jail. And his girlfriend testified that he's confessed to three different murders. So Krasner tells me he's investigating him. But, these are very suspect backroom deals. The public is getting bilked. And, it's a huge scandal, and I'm the only person in town who's interested in it. The Inquirer, every time he exonerates somebody, they run a feel-good story where the guy's going home to a party with his relatives. And I just ran a story last week. Shorin Thomas, the guy who got out of jail in 2017, he was a convicted killer because he had a supposedly airtight alibi. I interviewed a former prosecutor named Mark Gilson, and he told me that he was the guy asked to investigate the alibi, and he found police records that showed that alibi was a big, fat lie, and that this guy, Shorin Thomas, should have never gotten out of jail. He should have never been able to sue the city and collect $4 million, and he should have never been allowed to kill again. So these exonerations are something that every journalist in town should be looking at. The Supreme Court is holding a hearing on Larry's method of exonerating people. There's going to be hearings in March. The police are reinvestigating all of these cases. Yes. And nobody else in town is writing about it.
Yeah, and at the very least, we should have some transparency on this issue. Yeah. Ralph Cipriano, thank you so much. Really appreciate you, and we'll continue. Hopefully we continue the conversation. Thanks, Ralph.
Thank you, Dawn. A pleasure.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.